Hello, welcome to Outside In. I'm John Burns, and I'm bringing you another little podcast from my home in Inverness. I've not been out for a while. I can walk the streets of Inverness if I want once a day for exercise. But to be quite honest, I'm not an urban walker. I don't like walking on tarmac and concrete. I much prefer cycling. And one good thing about cycling is I reckon on a bike I can outrun the virus. You know what I mean? I don't think it's going to catch me on a bike. But it's been a bit windy and cold here. It was snowing yesterday. The warm weather's coming, and hopefully I'll get out on the bike a bit more. But I've been doing a lot of recording recently, working on my book, Bothy Tales, turning it into an audiobook. And I came across in the books this poem. Now, don't panic. I'm going to read a poem. Don't reach for the off button just yet, okay? It's quite safe. You'll like this, I promise, all right? I'm going to read this poem by Byron about Loch na Garr. Special place to me, very special place, and probably a special place to all of us. So here is Byron's poem. Loch na Garr. Away, ye gay landscapes, ye gardens of roses. In you let the minions of luxury rove. Restore me the rocks where the snowflake reposes. Though still they are sacred to freedom and love. Yet, Caledonia, beloved are thy mountains. Round their white summits though elements war. Though cataracts foam instead of smooth flowing fountains. I sigh for the valley of dark Loch na Garr. There my young footsteps in infancy wandered. My cap was the bonnet, my cloak was the plaid. Oh, chieftains long perished, my memory pondered, as daily I strode through the pine-covered glade. I sought not my home till the day's dying glory gave place to the rays of the bright polar star. For fancy was cheered by traditional story disclosed by the natives of dark Loch na Garr. Shades of the dead, have I not heard your voices rise in the night rolling breath of the gale? Surely the soul of the hero rejoices and rides on the wind o'er his own highland vale. Round Loch na Garr, while the stormy mist gathers, winter presides in his cold icy car. Clouds there encircle the forms of my fathers. They dwelled in the tempests of dark Loch na Garr. Ill-starred, though brave, did no visions foreboding tell that fate had forsaken your cause? How were you destined to die at Culloden? Victory crowned not your fall with applause. Still were you happy in death's earthly slumber. You rest with your clan in the caves of Bray Mawr. The pibroch resounds to the piper's loud number. Your deeds on the echoes of dark Loch na Garr. Years have rolled on Loch na Garr since I left you. Years must elapse ere I tread you again. Nature of verdure and flowers has bereft you. Yet still are you dearer than Albion's plain. England, thy beauties are tame and domestic to one who has roved on the mountains afar. Oh, for the crags that are wild and majestic, the steep, frowning glories of dark Loch na Garr. George Gordon Byron.
Quite some piece of writing that. When Byron wrote that, of course, poets were the sort of, they were the rock stars of their age, really. Now poetry is sort of kind of forgotten, and I think some poets should be shot on sight, basically. But Byron was a kind of class of his own, really, there. Okay, I'm going to read from a little book I really like. It's Arctic Dreams by Barry Lopez, Imagination and Desire in a Northern Landscape. Sort of in the, not in the style, but close writing. His writing is close maybe to to Robert McFarlane. If you like Robert McFarlane, you'll like Arctic Dreams. Quite dense, quite intense, and it's about time spent in Alaska and in the Arctic Circle, the far north. And it is very much about a northern landscape, and certainly, you know, I guess I live in a northern landscape. It certainly feels northern. And there are some things that I can relate to quite strongly in his writing. So here is an extract from Arctic Dreams by Barry Lopez. This is an old business. Walking slowly over the land with an appreciation of its immediacy to the senses and in anticipation of what lies hidden in it. The eye alights suddenly on something bright in the grass. The chitinous shell of an insect. The nose tugs at a minute blossom for some trace of Arctic perfume. The hands turn over an old bone, extrapolating until the animal is discovered in the mind and seen to be moving in the landscape. One finds anomalous stones to puzzle over, and in footprints and broken spider webs, the traces of irretrievable events. During those summers, I found, too, the molted feathers of ducks washed up in great rack lines in heaps on the beach, undisturbed in shallow waters on the lagoon side. I found hoof prints of caribou, as sharp as if the animals had stepped there in fresh clay only a moment before. They must have crossed over in late spring, on the last of the ice. I squatted down wherever the evidence of animals was particularly strong, amid the tundra's polygon fractures. Where Canada geese had cropped the grass at the edge of a freshwater pond, at the skull of a ringed seal carried hundreds of yards inland by ice or scavengers, where the grass had been flattened by a resting fox. I saw in the sea face of a low bench of earth along the beach the glistening edge of an ice lens that underlay the tundra. The surface layer of plants and dirt overhung it like a brow thatch of hair. I tried persistently, but without success, to sneak up on the flocks of feeding geese. I lost and regained images of ptarmigan against the ground because of their near-perfect camouflage. I brought back to the cabin, to set on a shelf by my bed, the castings of landscape, to keep for a while and wonder over the fractured intervertebral disc of a beluga whale, the prehistoric-looking ecoskeleton of a marine isopod, and handfuls of feathers, tangible things from my gentle interrogations, objects to which some part of a pervasive and original mystery still clung. In the sometimes disconcerting summary which a photograph holds, Pingok Island would seem bleak and forsaken. In winter, it disappears beneath whiteness, a flat white plain extending seaward into the Beaufort sea ice and landward without a border into the tundra of the coastal plain. The island emerges in June, resplendent with flowers and insects and birds, only to disappear again in a few months beneath the first snowstorms. To a Western imagination that finds a stand of full-crowned trees heartening, that finds the flight and voice of larks exhilarating, and the sight of wind rolling over fields and tall grass more than agreeable, Pingok seems impoverished. When I arrived on the island, I too understood its bleak aspect, a category, the expression of something I had read about or been told. In the weeks during which I made some passing acquaintance with it, its bleakness was altered, however. The prejudice we exercise against such landscapes, imagining them to be primitive, stark and pagan, became sharply apparent. It is in a place like this that we would unthinkingly store poisons or test weapons. Landlike the deserts to which we once banished our heretics, and were we once loosened scapegoats with the burden of our transgression. The differing landscapes of the earth are hard to know individually. They are as difficult to engage in conversation as wild animals. They are the complex feelings of affinity and self-assurance one feels with one's native place rarely develop again in another landscape. Here we are. Difficult to read as that was. It's not an easy read, Arctic Dreams, but I think it's quite rewarding. So if you fancy that, you can still get it from Amazon or possibly even some of the independent bookshops that are still doing mail order. That's been me. I'll be hoping to have a few guests on the show soon. So I hope you're keeping well, and I hope you're not quite climbing the walls yet, as I am. Well, I've been John Burnsman. I really hope you've enjoyed my little podcast, and I hope to see you again. You take care. Thank you. Bye.